ain't been getting high. Well, maybe a little, baby, I don't
know. That is the world famous Phil Henry Show with the El Pacifico here. This guy's singing about what?
Well, you're not an angel. It's a young man singing.
Yeah, it's a young man. Anyway, this is General Galen Shaw, world famous. World famous Phil Henry Show. I'm listening to this guy singing about getting high and talking about the. All right, thanks, General. Anybody else?
What does that mean? Yes, I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm Bud Dickman.
I'm Robin Leonard.
And I'm Phil Henry. Welcome to the program. Just what I'm introducing the show. The song, whatever it is. You know, they've got the I'm getting high and the S word. You know.
All right. I mean, what, you know, we play hip hop, you know. I don't know if you guys want to.
I'm fine with it, Phil. I mean, there was a time when I wasn't.
No, I'm all right with it. I mean, I understand the general's point of view.
Yeah, you know, I'm a little conservative. So when I start, hey, it's the Phil Henry Show, and there's some guy behind me going, hey, this, hey, there's all this S word. I don't know, you know.
All right, you're kind of an old-fashioned guy.
I'm not old-fashioned that way, but the guy's talking about taking a dump all over some. You know, to me, that was the kind of weird, kinky stuff guys got into in the Army. But I'm not about to sit here.
What do you mean they got into it in the Army?
Well, you know, they pay some gal to... Hey, General. Oh, sorry.
Pay a gal of what? Like, go do?
Don't you...
All right. Watch out, bud, okay? Just watch it.
All I did was talk about it.
Yes, well, it's crude and vulgar and rude.
Now, you know, Margaret, I don't want to get too personal. But you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know what you're talking about, but why would you look... Oh, my God.
No, General, it's kind of rude.
Why are you asking her that?
Nothing. I don't want it to seem as if I'm talking about something that people don't know anything about.
Well, first of all, that song wasn't about that. The kid was just saying, you know, this shit and that shit.
All right, so you want to go ahead and...
Yeah, I mean, there's no FCC hanging over me if we're going to describe it.
But it sounded to me like he was saying, hey, you know, I'm not getting high and... You know, I'm not inviting my girlfriend over to touch.
What? Go to take a dump on him?
I'm gonna.
You done?
Yeah, I'm done. Are you?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you go. You did. You did.
Well, you've got something going on in your mind this week. I don't know what it is, but have you had a neurological test?
Margaret, I'm. There's nothing wrong with me that you guys not squirreling around won't cure. Okay?
Squirreling around. Those are your words, not mine.
That's right. Squirreling around. And especially you, bud. You know what pisses people off.
Yeah, I'm talking about someone going, take them dump.
Well, the song's about that.
The song isn't got nothing to do with that. It's got nothing to do with that. That's in your mind.
Thank you, Phil. It is in your mind, General, that you hear that song and you start thinking about a woman.
Yeah, it's what?
Listen, some guys paid top dollar. Well, okay, thanks.
You know, I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk out into that kitchen and I'm going to find myself a cup of tea. And when I return... I hope the dirt and the mug and the...
There she goes.
Yeah, there she goes.
Welcome to the show, folks. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Margaret, would you get me cottage cheese?
No.
Okay, everybody got their food and...
All right, I'll get you the cottage cheese.
Thank you. The pineapple.
Oh, Jesus.
What is wrong with you?
Give me pineapple cottage cheese. That's the worst.
Are you... I won't hit on this. Are you nuts or something? I used to feed that to Frank every morning. Jason J. Delmonico, I require him to eat pineapple cottage cheese.
Why?
Because it seems like it's good for him. I don't know whether it is or not, but it seems like it.
No, that's not a good enough reason.
It doesn't sound like a good reason.
Well, thank you very much for weighing in. Are you a father? You? Any of you out there? No.
All right, thank you very much. I do know one thing, though. I don't eat pineapple cottage cheese. Thank you, God.
Oh, so you think you're better than everyone?
Hey, let me tell you something, Phil. You haven't lived until you've tried it.
I have tried it. It's the worst garbage I've ever eaten. I wouldn't eat it with your lips. You know, what do you want me to say?
You wouldn't eat it with my lips, so that's how bad you think it is.
Exactly. Pineapple cottage cheese sucks. And I'll tell you something else. Pineapple on anything.
Yeah, right there, Mr. Ernie, you got it. Yeah, I gotta agree with that.
Pineapple on anything.
Oh, my God. You are a West Coast boy. You grew up in the sunshine and on the beaches of California, and you don't like pineapple.
Pineapples comes from Hawaii.
Did you hear that? Pineapples comes from.
Yeah, Phil, jeez. You sound like some guy that's, you know, some dumbass in a field.
Learn the language, Phil, please.
Pineapples come from Hawaii.
All right.
What's that got to do with California?
because of the sun-splashed essence of California. People think pineapple. They don't know where pineapples are from. As far as they're concerned, what are you looking at?
You went in front of the film.
All right, time out here.
I'm going to...
Hold on, time. No more of this constantly nitpicking when people screw something up, because it slows us up. It sounds dopey. Knock it off.
Okay, but she's always doing it to other people.
Yes, when I do it, it's worthy. When I do it, I'm pointing out something serious. When you do it, you're mocking. I didn't... What did you say I did?
You went like this. You went...
Oh, horseshit.
Hey...
What are you laughing at?
God, Margaret, your mouth is vile.
Well, you know, sometimes I'm forced into it.
All right, so what about pineapple?
What about pineapple?
You're talking about pineapple cottage cheese.
Oh. Pineapple cottage cheese. You know what? I don't care.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm the only one here that knows about pineapple cottage cheese and its curative elements. Oh, get out of here, will you?
I'm telling you right now.
Let it cure you.
I don't want to say, but it has to do with, well...
Prostate?
Yes. What did it cure you of?
Prostatitis.
By eating pineapple?
But yes, because the pineapple carries away impurities. You know where I heard that? From you. Oh!
Oh, my God. He did. You did. Yes, you did say that, Phil.
Well, you know, you're right. I had a chiropractor once, the late, great Dr. Gail Ulikanova, who told me...
Who, ma'am?
Gail Ulikanova. She was a great, great chiropractor. She was an athlete. But was she was training to run in the 84 Olympics.
Is this going to take long? I'm sorry.
This woman passed on, okay?
I'm sorry, Phil.
God damn, Margaret.
I need a spoon for the cottage cheese.
Go up and get it. I don't care.
Okay.
Your voice cracked, Mr. Annie.
Is that right?
I got the spoon now, Phil. What are you looking... Oh, my... He's looking at me as if he wants to... You're looking at me as if you want to cut me into pieces and put me in a trunk... And leave me at a rail station.
What are you smiling at? Because you guys crack me up. All right, so here's the thing. Dr. Gail Ulikanova, man, she was the best. She saved me. I slipped a disc, all that stuff. I think I told you guys about this. But she came by the house. She came by the house after I'd been to her office and after she put me in a brace. And I was in agony, man. I mean, I was in agony. I've told the story a million times. I slipped a disc reaching for a bag at Burbank at the airport. She comes over with a pineapple.
Oh, this is the yes. I remember this now.
Yeah, the pineapple do what?
The pineapple. She says, here's a pineapple. Eat that pineapple, man, because pineapple carries away impurities and toxins. Because, you know, when the body's injured, it's creating toxic waste, for want of a better term.
You talk about when you...
No, not that kind. But it is, you know, there's impure... I don't know, the tissue and all kinds of stuff.
God, think about that.
You know, you just put me off my...
Put her off your pineapple cottage cheese.
Oh, isn't that too bad?
So she came over with the pineapple, and that's where I learned that pineapple is a groovy, groovy thing, man. So if you are hurting, if you just feel like you're feeling better, you know, if you've had it with all the crap you've been putting into your system and you want to just kind of flush the whole thing out, man, pineapple. Get yourself a pineapple.
Yeah, get you. You know what? That used to be a... That used to be a cure for a lot of things in Vietnam. Get yourself a pineapple.
Oh, my God.
That's very nice, General.
Well,
all right, time now on the world-famous Phil Henry Show to check out the traffic. Here is Bob Bacon and the guys.
Hey, Phil, it's out there above for three-ray. You're determining about 5 o'clock this morning as we are out there on the joint pants of the Clem, and he's slapping his butt with his hand at it. So if you stick your hand in, you get your hand in your pants, you get a hand down there, you got it right there. Over here on the 60 freeway, there's a trail burn, there's a car spun out over there, I saw a kid over there riding his bike on the freeway. I tell you what, break that. Go to the sky, boy.
Yeah, Mama, got it on the west side, going down the beach area. You can see a lot of surfers down there. People going out, get out of the car, run past the get piled into. It looked like a big truck just killed that van, killed about six people, and a family of six. Let's go over to Bowen Sky Beating Sweetland.
Mama, nan da doo doo, da doo da 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 doo doo, da doo da doo da 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 doo.
I messed myself. Thank you, everyone. Vote for Milo.
I'm Dr. Rex Rexworth. Eyewear can be very expensive, and when you walk around with eyeglasses on, you want to be able to see everything and anything. It's bad enough to have to wear eyeglasses for reading, for driving, for doing the simple tasks in life. You want to get something out of your eyeglasses. I, Dr. Rex Rexworth, what's my name again?
Dr. Rex Rat Race.
Dr. Rex Rat Race, come here for a minute.
Oh!
Don't you ever fuck with my name. I, Dr. Rex Rexworth, believe very wholeheartedly in the new Rexworth goggles. Put these on, you'll see. Put these on, man, you'll see Mars.
Dr. Rex Rexworth is in town. He's in Canoga Park, he's in Palmdale, he's in Lavender, and now in Sin City. Go to see Dr. Rex Rexworth.
My Rexworth goggles are worth it. You'll be able to see things you've never seen before. And I'm not going to get into any specifics, because then they'll close me down.
The Rexworth goggles from Dr. Rex Rexworth.
They've changed my life. I know they'll change yours. You look stupid in them. That's the one thing, that's the caveat, this being a radio commercial. I have to let you know, you'll look like a full-blown ass.
But they work.
Work. I took some pictures, one of mine.
Rex Rexworth's Rexworth goggles.
You'll be glad you did.
Kitchy Surfboard, 6575 Pacific Coast Highway in Port Hueneme. We've now got the new Gervner, and we have the curve board, plus we've got the paddle wheel. And if you're one of those wakeboarders, you know what that's about. We have all the wake wrecks and the wakeboard supplies that you will ever have to need. Kitchy Surfboards. Surf and more. We're on Pacific Coast Highway, just past the turnout there for Port Hueneme, that's how you say that.
Come on by Gitchy's.
Get Gitchy with it.
It's a savage, ruthless. We got 30s and 100 rounds too.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico. I'm Margaret Gray. We've got a little bit of a treat for you. This was a recording that I dug up, and I didn't think we'd ever find. This was an alternate take, and this was used on the television show. And I want people to hear this, because this was really fun for me, Phil. Frank had some old recordings. And a lot of these were on disc, and some of these were on, recording tape.
When you say disc, what do you mean?
Well, they were on old,
Like acetates?
Acetates, yes.
What are you laughing at, man?
Ass.
I didn't say ass, did I? You know what? You're the ass.
Ass. Don't hurt me.
It didn't hurt you. Why are you holding your teeth in? So this is something that I think you'll enjoy, Phil. I did one of the original recordings of the Star Trek theme.
Really?
Yes. And I found, I said, Frank, what is this? And,
Get Frank now.
Well, okay, thank you, bud. That's what you could have said rather than have me clock you and push your teeth where your tonsils are right now.
Hey.
Thank you.
Boy, bud, you applaud your own beating. That's great.
Thanks.
All right, Frank Gray is my husband. He's on line three here. Frank?
Yeah, Frank Gray.
Frank, I'm on with Phil and the crew here, and we're talking about the Star Trek theme.
Oh, okay, yeah.
What can you tell us about the background to that?
I was familiar with Gene Roddenberry, was a good friend, and she was producing the show. And we'd already done Bunkhouse, and I'd started up another Western called Randy Rides Alone, and that was going to star Cavender Slayton, and she was not available. So I said, well, what's Roddenberry doing? So I wandered over to her trailer. And we were on a Paramount lot in those days.
Yes.
And she was conducting an orchestra, standing there.
Yes.
Well, I walked in, and she's waving her arms all over the place like she knows what she's doing.
What was he doing?
Well, she was conducting the Star Trek orchestra for this. Just goddamn, excuse me.
Can't see it.
Just watch your language.
All right, well, it was this song. And then Margaret was standing there, you were standing there when I got home. He said to me, why are you late? I said, I was with Gene Roddenberry.
When you say Gene Roddenberry was in the trailer...
Well, it was a large mobile unit where they were doing a lot of the music in those days. And when I walked in...
All right, so, but I'm interested. He was waving his arms around?
Gene thought she could do everything, and she couldn't do it. And she's standing there waving her arms like the... She thought she was Zubin by God Mehta.
All right, so, well, was he conducting an orchestra?
There was an orchestra there, and they were playing, And Jean was there, and she was waving her arms around like, you know, like she thought she was the, that, who's the bum from that Arthur Pops? Who's that, you know?
It's John Williams.
Yeah, like she was John Williams. Anyway, I said, what are you doing? Because I'm standing there with about five or six other people, and our mouths are hanging open. And she turns around, she says, oh, hey, how you doing, Frank? She says, I'm conducting the orchestra for the new theme for the TV. I said, what TV? And she said, this Star Trek. I said, well, that sounds like a load and a half. And I was wrong, of course. We were all wrong. And she said, you wait. It'll be one of the biggest things that God ever allowed to hit a TV screen. And I said, now I know you need to have a... I said, you know, I just got blood tested then, and they came up... All of it came up blue, pure gonorrhea.
All right, do you have to bring that up, Frank?
I'm trying. So she gets back to waving her arms around, but I got to record it. And then she said, well, I need a singer. And I said, you know, my wife's a singer. And she says, who's that? And that's when I said, Margaret. And that's when Margaret...
Well, I went down and I met Mr. Roddenberry, and we hit it off. It was great.
Right. And so she said, well, bring him on in tomorrow.
Right. And so I went into the recording booth there at Paramount and recorded this. Now, I think they had one or two other gals, but I know they used my take. I'm pretty sure they used my take in the early seasons, if I'm not mistaken, Frank.
The first two seasons, I think Gene used it, and then they switched off, you know, and I said to him, I said, she said, I'm going to switch off. I said, it sounds like some kind of a sex act. And she said, that's a good point. So she said, I want to change it. I said, that's the home run right there. Use that term. And then she went back to waving her arms, conducting the orchestra.
All right, so this is a version that Margaret's on.
Yeah, this is the version that Margaret's on. He's heard prominently here it is right here. That's the theme that...
Back off the phone, Frank.
Sorry. The theme... And here's right here, Space, the Final Frontier.
Well, we don't need the narration.
Well, yes, you do need the narration, because no one will understand what in Christ you're doing. The Final Frontier, this is the voyage of Star Trek.
No, the Spaceship Enterprise.
I'm sorry, yeah, the Spaceship Enterprise.
Actually, Starship.
Oh, who gives a fuck?
Wait, hold on, here it is.
Here's what?
This is me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's you, Margaret.
Yes.
That was great. That's fantastic.
Is that really you?
Yes, it's me.
No, it's a little...
Frank, do you mind?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you really got to hit a note there, don't you?
I'll tell you, it took all the talent I had.
I just want to say, Roddenberry is waving her arms all over the place.
That was great. That's beautiful, the way you go.
All right, bud. Thank you.
Well, that's why I said to Roddenberry, I said, Jesus Christ. He sounds like somebody just said...
Can I listen to this, Frank, and you can tell your stupid story later?
That's not stupid.
You're listening to the sound of Margaret Gray on the Star Trek theme that she recorded in the late 1960s.
I can still do it. Well, not quite, but...
Pretty good, Ms. Bryan.
Pretty good.
Yeah, so there it is. And,
that was great.
Thank you very much. Now, what is the story, Frank? You talked throughout that thing.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say that Margaret, while he's singing, Gene Roddenberry's arms are waving all over the place. And I finally said to her, I said, Gene, would you knock it off? I said, you don't know how to conduct an orchestra any more than you know how to fornicate.
What a crude slob.
Hey, you know. And Jean, to her credit, said, you know what, you're right. And got off and threw the baton on the floor and went outside and had a malted milk.
All right, so that's Margaret Gray singing there on the Star Trek theme.
Now, one of the things I want to mention here that Frank is very kind of... Yeah, Gene had me starting out at a very, very high note, and you can hear I'm really straining.
Well, I told her, I said, why are you making him hit that note? And she says, because that's the right texture. And I said, you know, you producer, director types, you really give me a royal pain. I feel like I got a baseball shoved up there every time you talk about the texture and all of that horse dung. I said, I'd be about $5 million richer today if I didn't listen to you. And excuse me, I said it. And I didn't mean to say it, but I said, if I had listened to you faggots...
Frank!
Frank, we don't need that language.
I'm just saying, back in those days, that's what I said. I said I'd be $5 richer.
$5?
I mean, $5 million richer if I didn't listen to you fairies. But you're all about, oh, the texture. And Roddenberry, that's when she took off one of her gloves and threw it on the ground and said... How dare you challenge me? And I said, what are you? I said, what's this now? You bucking for Plato's Retreat to be bartender? And she said, F it, and walked off.
That's very interesting, Frank, but completely irrelevant to my voice and the singing that I done did. The singing that I did.
No, it's very lovely.
Well, I'm so happy you saved the recording, Frank, and I'm so happy that we were able to hear it because, I mean, that's one that you... people should know about.
Well, I mean, come on.
No, Phil is absolutely right. It's something I'm proud of, Frank.
All right, you're proud of it, and I'm proud of you. But God Almighty, don't... It's not like Well, that was my nickname for Julie London. Did you know that, Phil?
What?
My nickname for Julie London.
Lurch?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Because that's how he came off. Julie London was his butch. Going into a studio with Julie London, the singer...
Now, Julie London was the beautiful nurse on Emergency.
Yeah, Bobby Troop and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Julie London.
And you nicknamed Julie London Lurch.
Yes, because when you'd walk into a recording studio with him, he went from being this very beautiful, demure singer into just a masculine ape. And you feared for your... I'm not kidding. I feared...
Frank, don't tell this story again.
I'm telling you, I feared for it.
Frank says he feared he'd be raped.
By Julie London.
I think you really got to watch what you say.
I'm not literally, but because Julie London had a habit. Can I say this, Phil? Julie London had the habit of saying shit after he would sing something because he didn't like his voice, so he'd go, ah, shit. Well, shit, and every other word was shit, and I felt as if I was a young 10-year-old girl, just sort of in a party dress. I don't know. He had that effect on men.
We're talking to Frank Gray. Margaret Gray is with us. We just heard Margaret singing the theme from Star Trek.
God, you're acting like that. You didn't notice any of it.
No, I notice any of what?
The weird shit that I was talking about.
And Frank Gray is with us, and Margaret Gray is with us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So that is the Star Trek theme that we heard Margaret singing.
Yes, and I wanted to point out again the very high note, because Gene wanted that note, and as Frank said, he wanted that texture. So, what are you looking at?
That's not as good as the record.
Yeah, you know, it's a little off.
What are you trying to say?
Well, Margaret, you're flatting here live in our studio. You probably ought to warm your voice up.
Well, that's all I have to do is warm it up, but I'm trying to give you the idea of it, you see. So Gene said, imagine yourself...
Yeah?
Imagine yourself having been shot out of a cannon, a space cannon, and you're screaming by the camera. And so what does the camera hear? What do the people hear as... I've been shot out of a space cannon.
What's a space cannon?
It's a big cannon.
Just a big cannon you shoot a guy into space with.
Yes. So, and you're going by, so we go, ha, ha, ha. You see, as I go by the camera.
That's what Gene Roddenberry said.
Yes, that's what Gene Roddenberry, boy, do you doubt it?
Seriously, I was there, Phil. I heard what she said. She told him to, she said, Margaret, you've got a beautiful voice. You're a beautiful young woman. And then she proceeded to tell him to go, ah, you know, as if he's been shot out of a cannon and he's screaming ass by the camera.
Right, so, ah, And that's what it would sound like.
Yeah, sure.
Well, Frank, you got somebody that can do it better?
Well, Margaret.
You got someone that can do it better?
No.
We're talking with Margaret Gray and Frank Gray here about, we got Bobby Dooley hanging on line two here. I just wanted to get
No, she said that she'd,
She's going to tell the story about her.
Well, about her what?
I believe Bobby Dooley's uncle was a stunt.
She's going to go into the whole stuntman thing.
Well, let's get Bobby Dooley up here from the Western States Homeowners Association on line three. Hey, Bobby, welcome to the program. Good to talk to you.
I talk much.
I said it's good to talk to you.
All right, Phil. I wanted to correct the record a little bit. Steve and I are here. Frank, how are you?
I'm great.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah, how you doing, Dooley?
I'm very good, sir.
We wanted to correct the record. Margaret did, of course, obviously think on that. But my uncle was a stunt person for Gene Roddenberry on the Star Trek show.
Well, I didn't... what do you mean correct the record? No one said that he didn't work there.
I don't remember Bobby bringing her up at all.
All right, well, I just wanted... And in case the record was not corrected...
No, what we're saying is the record doesn't need to be corrected.
Oh, okay. I heard you talking about Star Trek, and I wanted to make sure that I got that in.
Bobby's uncle...
No, Steve. My uncle was a stuntman on Star Trek. He worked for Gene Roddenberry in a lot of different productions.
Was he in the... did he work in the films?
Yes, he did. He worked in a couple of them, The Wrath of Khan, and Star Trek, the big one.
Well, it's called Star Trek, the movie.
That's right, Star Trek, the movie. He was very close. Gene Roddenberry was very close to his crew in a lot of ways.
Now, by the way, what's your uncle's name?
My uncle was Roy Robbie.
So Roy Robbie, your father was Bobby Robbie, or?
No, my father was Robert Robbie. I was Roberta Robbie. I was named after my father. My uncle was Roy Robbie. And my aunt, on my father's side, my father's sister, who never got married, and if you can speculate, and the speculation's true, you know?
Okay.
All right, Phil, big deal.
You don't understand, she's a lesbian.
And don't you ever do that again.
What you're saying?
All right, we get it.
Her name was Ribbler Robbie. And
what was her name again?
Ribbler Robbie.
What is Ribbler? That's her name?
Yes, that's her. Oh, my God, look at you.
Well, I've never heard the name Ribbler.
Well, now you've heard it. Her name is Ribbler. I don't know what her real name was. That's what I called her.
All right, Bobby, so your uncle was a stuntman.
Yeah, and Gene Roddenberry.
Can I just interrupt you for a moment?
Yeah.
The man's name was Roddenberry, and you've been saying Roddenberry here for the last 15 minutes.
His name was Roddenberry.
No, it wasn't. It was Rod...
Excuse me, General, but you don't have a dog in this fight.
I've got a dog in the fight, and I happen to know that her name was Gene Roddenberry.
All right, Frank, that's fine, but you've got gender confusion.
I don't give a god's...
The name was Roddenberry. I mean Roddenberry.
All right. My understanding was it was Roddenberry.
Not Roddenberry. Don't you know that the man...
Phil, what are you, all of a sudden a movie star? I know about it, and Margaret knows about it, and maybe Frank.
No, not maybe Frank. I happen to know Gene Roddenberry, and that was her name, okay? Gene Roddenberry.
And you're the guy sitting there going, her name.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm going to go through it.
Frank, take it easy.
All right, Bobby, thank you very much for your call. Thank you for telling us about Roy Robbie.
Roy Robbie was a stuntman, and he worked for Gene Roddenberry, or whatever you want to call him.
Gene Roddenberry is what we'll call him. Is that all right?
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Phil. Name's Gene Roddenberry.
Yeah, Gene Roddenberry.
Gene Roddenberry?
Like she never heard that one before.
Whatever.
Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley and her uncle was a stuntman. Did you know or did you ever see this guy around?
Who?
Bobby's uncle.
Oh, I wouldn't have known a stuntman if I fell over top of her. No, I was there. I went straight to the producer. I knew Gene Roddenberry. She was a dear friend. And that particular week, when they were recording the theme song, and they'd already done some preliminary casting, that's when I went over to the sound stage, and there's Roddenberry pretending like she's Eugene Ormandy in the Philadelphia Philadelphia, you know, whatever the hell they call it, the Philharmonic Philadelphia fucking...
Frank, the language.
Sorry, but I mean, and I said, Gene, what in the name of Jesus H, you know who, are you doing? And she says, I'm conducting. I said, you look like a guy that took about 150,000 volts in the rectum. And I mean that. And excuse my language, Phil.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
No, I'm sorry. But I said, you look like they wired you for sound, Jack. And she goes, what are you talking about? I said, you're waving your arms around like you think you know what you're doing. You look like some, to be perfectly honest with you, you look as if you need electroshock. You look like you need medication. And that's when she took the baton that she'd been waving around, threw it on the floor of the soundstage, and strode out. And I went outside just to peek to see where she was going. And just as I suspected, she was headed straight for her trailer. And I happened to know she had a couple of bottles, maybe three or four bottles in there of that Johnny Blue, because about a half hour later, she stunk of it and was back on the soundstage.
Very funny.
Well, it happens to be true.
All right. Well, that's a very good story. It's a very, very interesting anecdote. Frank Gray, Margaret Gray, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Phil. And you know, it was just a really fun thing to do. And we have very, very fond memories of it.
And I'll bet you do. And I'm very grateful that you shared that with us. Frank and Margaret Gray here on the Phil Henry Show.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Gray.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can you actually know this, huh?
Yeah, I know. It's space, the final frontier.
But it doesn't start now, it starts.
What do you mean, now it starts?
What is it?
Space. It's a final frontier. These are the voyages of a spaceship named Enterprise. It's a 5-year mission to look for aliens, to look for monsters, and to boldly go where no man has gone before. And then it goes like, Margaret.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. If you need extra credit and are looking for a career, an exciting new career, go to the Parker Institute. At Parker Institute, you'll learn how to make bunny rabbits with Play-Doh. You'll also learn how to bake fake little cakes in those little Play-Doh ovens. At the Parker Institute, thousands of careers are waiting just for you to start your exciting new life. Get a career, not just a job. At Parker Institute, you can learn one of these great, great crafts. Organ grinding, dishwashing, pool cleaning, paper doll making, calligraphy, jacks, marbles, inflating footballs. It's all there for you at the Parker Institute, an exciting new career. Won't you call this number at the bottom of your screen? There is no screen? I apologize. Won't you call this number? Oh, you can't see it. What's the number?
I don't know. Make one up.
555-212121. You know, the Parker Institute. That excited new career. For you, for me, baby makes three. Oh, that's one other thing you learn. Baby making. I'm only kidding.
Beans, burritos, cakes, tortillas, pop-ups, pop-overs, turnovers, turnover, rollover, put your ass in the air at Chef Carl Cedilia's Bean Wagon. The Chef Carl Cedilia Bean Wagon is coming near you. A great lunch wagon, and you can get all kinds of sandwiches, burritos, tacos, anything you want for lunch.
Chef Carl Cedilia's Bean Wagon.
Chef Carl Cedilia's Bean Wagon will be at Lester's Finery in Hermosa Beach on Friday at 3 p.m. Don't miss it. Chef Carl Cedilia's Bean Wagon. Beans and a whole lot more.
Roof. Beat the whole walls loose. Hey. Hop in the fall. Woo.
Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show. You know, I got a call from Dr. Ron Tarner about 2 days ago, and he said he just had taken one of the most interesting trips of his life. He had gone south. His family originated in Georgia, eastern Georgia, as a matter of fact, in a place called Sumner. And he said he had taken an amazing trip with a man named Daryl Weber. Now, Ron will tell us more about the story, but Ron's mother is, her maiden name is Weber, and Daryl Weber's family comes from Georgia.
Now, you're not going to tell me what I think you're going to tell me.
His family were slaves?
His family were slaves owned by Ron Tarner's mother's family, the Weber family or clan.
But you said the Weber family.
Yeah, I know I said the Weber Flamley.
I'm just trying to keep you honest.
I'm just trying to keep you honest, Phil.
Yeah, that's real dishonest of me to say Flamley.
Well, people think that you could have like an enlarged gland or something that's keeping your tongue from moving properly.
There's something keeping your tongue from moving properly when you talk like that.
All right, Phil, don't buy into it. Don't take his bait.
Yeah. Anywho, so what we have here is Ron Tarner, and Ron is with us from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado, and we'll be talking with him, and we will have Mr. Weber, a rare treat.
You're going to have this man on, Daryl Weber.
Yeah, we are. And Ron, maybe you can give us a little background.
Well, Phil, I'm very happy to do that. We went to, this was a trip that we took as a family last summer, and we traveled all the way down south because I had learned from the family records that my mother's family, the Weber family, had a very, very small bit of acreage in eastern Georgia. They were peanut farmers. They're also cotton farmers. And they did a little bit of ranching. They had some domesticated animals there, such as they had the cow and the horse. And I had a pig and I had a chicken, too. And they had another family living with them, which is the Weber family. And Daryl Weber is a man that I discovered living in the Compton area, and was, at the time that I contacted him, at a music store. And I got him, I think he's with you now, bud.
Yeah, I got Mr. Weber here.
Let's talk to Daryl Weber. And he's in Compton, California, and Daryl with us. Hi, Mr. Weber. How are you, sir?
Very good, thank you.
Hey, Daryl, it's Rod Tarner.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
So tell me, Daryl, you were contacted by Ron Tarner?
Yeah, I was contacted by Mr. Tarner at my home, actually at my business, Weber Music, in Compton, and said that he said that our families lived together. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, they had a... my family had a farm or a ranch, and your family lived on the ranch. And I said, and I kind of knew where he was going with this.
Yeah, he sort of strung me along a little bit.
Yeah, well, and I said, yeah, they lived together, meaning what? He said, well, they worked on the farm, the Weber farm. And I said, well, your name is Tarner. He said, that's my mother's maiden name. And I kept on asking and kept on asking. Finally, he said, well, you know, we bought your people, so they had to live somewhere.
Well, I was trying to, the way you're telling it, it's not the way we discussed it.
Well, we might not have discussed it that way, but that's what I'm telling Mr. Henry and his listeners right now. Now, that's how it was presented. Didn't you present it that way?
I said, yes, I said, your family lived with my family, and you said, I don't understand. I said, well, they were living on the farm with my family, and you said, I still don't understand. And I said, they were living on the farm with my family, and they worked for my family, and you said you still didn't understand.
By that point, did you get the idea?
No, I didn't know where you were going with it. So I said, they were on the farm there, and they had to do what my family told them to do, and you asked why, which I thought was disingenuous.
Well, I wanted to see if you knew the answer.
I said they had to do what my family told them to do because the laws then said you had to do what a white man did.
Yeah, but at no time...
Didn't you use the word slave?
I did not use the word slave, no.
And, well, I didn't either.
Well, I was trying to get him to use the word slave.
Well, why would I... obviously, they were slaves, but, you know, the whole reason why I brought this up and I had planned a trip, our families together, Mr. Weber's family and my family, and I planned a trip that we would all go down in a train together, and we would explore and investigate.
I thank you very much for that, Mr. Tarner, and I...
It's Dr. Tarner, if you don't mind.
All right, Dr. Tarner, excuse me. I thank you very much for that, but I don't have any desire to travel to your family's farm to see where my ancestors were most likely tortured.
You don't know that that's true.
If they were slaves, they were tortured.
You don't know that that's true.
Well, if they were slaves...
All right, can I interrupt?
No, hold on for a minute. I want to interrupt. Now, Mr. Weber's right. The slaves couldn't do anything about it. You don't know how they were treated. And even if they were treated good, they couldn't leave that farm. And if you treated them bad, who are they going to go to? Can't go to the cops.
Well, they may not have been able to go to the cops, sir, but I think I told my family.
Well, I don't think any of us know our relations going that far back. You're talking Civil War.
Well, did you know your relations?
I know one thing about my relations. They were slaves. Okay. Did you know your family were peanut farmers?
I did not know they were peanut farmers. And when I was told they were peanut farmers, I got a little upset because I was hoping that they'd had a more noble background.
Right. But when they were told that they owned, well, you were told that they owned a farm and they had half a dozen to a dozen slaves.
Well, I was not happy that there was slavery, but it was something to be proud of back then, not now, but back then, that my family could afford it.
Yeah, your family could afford six human beings to live on a farm.
Six human beings who, by the way, and I would direct you to Bill O'Reilly, are well-fed, taken care of.
You just said the wrong thing to me, man.
What are you talking about?
You said the wrong thing.
Yeah, bringing up Bill O'Reilly is about the dumbest thing you could do there, Ron, because Bill O'Reilly said one of the dumbest things ever.
Bill O'Reilly said the slaves were well fed.
Slaves, they might have been well fed for the job they had at hand, but they were enslaved. They could not go where they wanted to go. They could not do what they wanted to do. They couldn't work for who they wanted to work for, and they damn sure didn't get paid the way they wanted to get paid. And so I was supposed to forgive all that because they're well fed. Because why? Because they had to get the peanut crop in?
Well, you know, you make it sound like it's a horrifying thing.
May I say this one thing, Ron? Nobody is... I don't think that Mr. Weber is blaming you necessarily.
Well, I'm not blaming him, but I'm saying to him, pull your head...
Oh, pull my head out of my ass, is that it?
I was going to say that, and then I realized there's probably children listening, so I didn't.
Well, I wasn't going to say...
Let's say this. Let's just say this. Let's say that... You know, there was slavery, and Mr. Tarner's intentions were to share this historic experience with you, and unfortunately, he was not prepared for it.
What is that about?
Now, that's probably a good way of putting it. You know,
what is that about? What are you talking about?
I'm saying that it doesn't sound to me like you were very prepared to share this experience or engage this experience with Mr. Weber because you got some idea that slaves... were treated well.
I never said slaves were treated well. I said Bill O'Reilly said that on occasion slaves were well fed.
But let me, if I could ask you, Ron, because you and I have talked many times on the phone.
Yes, we have, yes.
What do you consider a well-fed slave? What did they give them?
Well, I think Bill O'Reilly mentioned you'd probably get a slice of puck of pie or maybe a slice of apple pie, you know.
So they got dessert, was that it?
You see, this I realize you're mocking me. That much I do know.
I'm not mocking you, but I want to know what you mean by well-fed.
I think it's a fair question. Let me ask you something, Ron. This is General Shaw. When you say a slave is well-fed, it's kind of like saying that a racehorse is well-fed. You want to fatten him, or maybe even a duck or a goose, you know, fatten him up for the job ahead.
Well, I don't think anybody's saying that they wanted to eat the Webers. God,
I'm not saying that. And who are the Webers?
Well, the Black Webers.
The Black Webers, is that us?
Well, yes, there was the white Webers. In my family, I should explain, Mr. Henry and Mr. Weber, in my family, during that period, if anyone references that period, they will say, well, the white Webers went into town, the black Webers stayed behind. Or there was a story, one of the more active summers there was in 1821 or 1860, I don't know, 1875.
There was no slavery in 1875.
All right, well, it was something. They said that the white Webers went into town and then eventually hopped a steamboat and made it up to Chicago, and the black Webers stayed at the farm. The white Webers then went on to New York, but the black Webers, you know...
Yeah, they stayed on the farm, and then the white Webers went... Where else they go?
I think they went to Philadelphia.
Okay, and the black Webers?
They stayed
on the farm.
Yeah. What is up with you?
I'm trying to point out to you, sir, that every time the white Webers got to go here, there, and everywhere else, the black Webers are back on the farm.
They couldn't go anywhere. They were slaves.
Right, Phil. May I just say one thing? They couldn't go anywhere. You really don't distinguish yourself.
You know, Ron, is beside the point. Phil and Mr. Weber are both making the key point here. You're trying to equate as if there's this equivalency, and there's this term that people use now.
Yeah, it's called false equivalency.
Right there, what the man said. False equivalency. Trying to pretend as if the experience of these black slaves was the same as the experience of your white ancestors.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that at all. I'm simply saying...
You're simply saying that, hey, on one summer, my family traveled to Chicago and New York and Philadelphia, and the black Webbers didn't do shit.
Oh, boy.
Gonna have to watch your language, Mr. Weber.
Oh, is that all you say to him? You're gonna have to watch... Me, you excoriate.
Nobody excoriated you. Phil has every right to say, watch the language. Either one of you.
Well, it sounded to me like you yelled at me.
I apologize, Mr. Henry, but my patience... You know,
your patience of being taxed by a man here who doesn't understand that the African-American experience in the Civil War during slave times was a traumatizing experience, and there wasn't anything familial about it, there wasn't anything well-fed about it, there wasn't anything that even smacked to tourism. It was a hellish life, and for you to say, hey, they lived on the same farm...
Can I ask, who am I speaking with?
This is Robert Leonard. I'm on the panel.
Get a load of this guy.
Yeah, well, what's he, a little uppity for you?
I came on this program, Mr. Weber, and I asked you to come on with me in good faith to talk about my experience of discovering my family's peanut farm and the slave quarters, which I guess you probably...
The slave quarters?
Yes. You remember when I showed you those?
You showed me pictures of it, yeah. And you said, hey, look, here's where your family lived, and here's where my family lived. And when you pointed to where your family lived, it was a beautiful, looked like a 3-4-bedroom home, with a front porch
Well, all right, we owned the farm, hello. Naturally, if you own it.
Yeah, right. And we didn't own the farm. In fact, we didn't own anything. Our slave quarters were nothing more than, it looked like a shack with planks of wood for beds, and there was a dirt floor. And a kettle in the middle of that, and that was our home.
Well, because we owned the farm, you see.
Because you enslaved my family.
I didn't enslave your family.
Your family did.
Well, it was legal, you see. It was legal.
Yeah, it was legal. So you went ahead and took advantage of that, like so many people. When the law calls for it, when the law calls for cruelty, when the law calls for brutalizations, when the law calls for allows one. To impose such pain on a fellow man, people will take advantage of that.
I think that's a terrible thing to say. When I invited you to go down with me, and you said that, and you remember what you said. You said you'd rather eat and then excrete broken glass, blood and all. That was your quote.
That's right. You want me to say it again?
No, one time is enough. Shit.
I said to him, I would rather eat broken glass and then pass it through my colon, out my rectum, and deal with the blood later.
Oh, God.
Why would you say that?
Because that's how I feel.
Well, look, Mr. Ender, I won't bother you anymore, and I won't bother Mr. Weber anymore. You know, I simply wanted to share.
You got to understand, Ron, what are you sharing? You're sharing a picture of a home that was a horrifying experience for one family, and it was just like everything else for another family.
I really resent the fact that anyone that lived with my family, it was horrifying.
I can assure you, if there were slaves that living with your family, it was horrifying.
You don't know my family. See, that's the whole thing. My great-great-grandfather was a wonderful man. He told jokes. He was a great card player.
Yeah, he played cards with the slaves.
I imagine that they got up and gave a pinochle.
I don't think so, Ron.
Well, God, it's very unfair.
I don't think I didn't know. They didn't get up a game of pinochle. Maybe they got up a game of spades. What do you think about that?
I get it.
Yeah, you get it. All right, Mr. Henry, I've got to go.
All right, well, I appreciate both you guys. We're going to have to move on here.
I think it's been a very unfair experience, Mr. Henry.
I will take it under advisement. I'm sorry that it was. I thank you both for coming on and sharing, though.
I'm happy to do it, but to be honest with you, I don't think that Dr. Turner, understands.
Well, I think I very well do understand.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Henry.
Thank you, Phil.
And there is Ron Turner.
I want to say what...
And,
Well, you hung up on him.
Of course I hung up on him.
Yeah, he kept on talking.
That's what I meant. I was telling David about that. He kept on... Bap, 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 with a big fat mouth.
All right, Phil. Can't you get into the white man's experience? You know, it wasn't all horrifying and gloomy back then. Yes, it was bad for black people. There's no question. No question at all, Phil. And no one is denying that. And yes, it was a horrible time because there was war afoot. There was disloyalty. There was a civil war and so on and so forth. But for some whites, and maybe just a few, it was a glorious time. A time of accordion playing and clogging, people dancing in beautiful gowns, young gentlemen with the mint juleps, you know, wearing those cornball uniforms, I don't know.
What do you mean cornball?
I don't know. What was the stuff they were wearing?
That was Confederate Army stuff. These guys were rebels. They were traitors.
No, they were not. They simply wanted to just take their slaves and get lost. That's what they wanted more than anything.
Oh, really? They just take their slaves and get lost. They wanted to take human beings and get lost.
Well, they were humans too, so they're taking themselves. Oh,
that doesn't make any sense. The dumbest thing I ever heard.
Don't you call me dumb.
Hey, watch it.
Pissing me off.
Break it up, will you? This is a conversation, thank God, I don't think we're ever going to have again. I'm very, very happy for that.
Well, I think there's a lot more to be said.
Well, no, there's not going to be any more said on this show. Why not? What's more to be said, man? Hey, come on, let's go down and check out the slave quarters where your family... Yeah, you know, I got to tell you something, man. I've seen a lot of these shows on TV, too, where the white family and the black family go and visit where they're... Why? I wouldn't go down there, man. Why not? If I was a black guy, I wouldn't go down there.
And why is that?
Because I'm not going to go down and look and see where my ancestors were tortured while that guy's ancestors sat around and had, meat pies and mint juleps and sassafras.
I think you're wrong.
Well, I may be wrong, but...
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
I may be wrong, but that's my goddamn job. I'll make the fucking decisions, okay? That's Tommy Lasorda from the
78 series.